I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Fine, I'll admit it. My brackets still aren't done. They will be done before the tournament tips off in Fuego. The tournament begins with the first round games in mere hours. And your host has procrastinated until the last final minute, of course. Would you expect anything else from me? No, you definitely would not. So I promise I will reveal my final four before the end of the show. This is how you know what I'll be doing during commercial breaks on the show. I will, in fact, be filling out all of my brackets. I have three I have to do. I have a personal wager, not money, but something else, dinner. I have a personal wager, I have a family bracket challenge, and I have the after hours bracket challenge, which you too can join. It's your last chance, like it's my last chance. So if you haven't joined us yet, make sure you check it out on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. It's pinned to the top of our show Twitter and also at the top of our Facebook page. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. It's kind of fun to look at the full slate of games for Thursday and Friday and know that we will be immersed in college basketball, totally immersed. But I'm wondering if you think there are a better 2 days in sports than these two. I can think of a few candidates. For instance, the divisional weekend in the NFL playoffs. Think about the games we get Saturday and Sunday. The four top seeds who had byes the week before. Then they get a chance to finally play and host. So those 2 days in the NFL in January are pretty good. How about Saturday, Sunday at the Masters? Anyone who takes Saturday and Sunday at the Masters? I'm interested in the best 2 days in sports on the entire calendar year because I feel like Thursday, Friday can put up a pretty good fight. If you want to expand it, of course, you can go Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then you're talking about just, it's like basketball on speed. It's like, well, I've never used drugs, so I guess I can't really compare it. It's a basketball high. You'd be hard-pressed to find a better few days, but I'm sure you can come up with something. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then as always, you can weigh in on our Facebook page. It's like a free-for-all on Facebook these days because you're all such top fans. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. I don't normally care about your predictions, I'll just be honest. But on this particular show, I welcome them. You've got these 4 hours to find me, either on the phones or on social media, and tell me who's still standing in your final four. Tell me. I welcome it. I'll even support and encourage you and tell you how much I hope you win. I'm lying through my teeth, but no. I'll be very supportive. Your host is going to be supportive tonight. Super supportive. I sound like such a millennial. Every now and then, I sound cool. So who's your final four? That's the easy question. And what better days in sports are there on the calendar than these next two? I actually have friends, maybe you do too, who take the days off. They do not work. They might as well be national holidays. Chris, you better not do that. That's not fair. Don't leave me. Dave is not here again, but we're going to believe him that he's sick. He sent us text messages and said he still didn't feel well, but he promised to be back for the last show of the work week. Okay. Hopefully the rest of his family does not get sick, because that's when it turns into a total disaster. So again, find us on Twitter or Facebook. Who are your final four? And are you taking the contrarian method or are you going with the flow? I would say the majority of brackets will pick Duke. Really, you have to separate yourself from the pack if you want to win. Unless, of course, Duke wins and then you're SOL. So what's the method? We've talked about that this week. How did you end up with your final four? Because this is the last time we get to talk about it without any blemishes, any red marks on our brackets. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. So on this edition of the show, not only do we have madness from college hoops, but we also have madness from the NBA. Oh, the madness. Yeah, it's not a recipe for success. Not a recipe for success when James Harden takes 39 shots in one game. Negative Ghost Rider. We had talked about this before Chris Paul got back. We talked about this. You didn't have to agree with me, but we talked about the fact that this is not a sustainable formula. It's not just about the number of minutes he's absorbing, but it's also about the number of shots he's putting up. And I know he's really talented. He's the reigning MVP. But sometimes his shots don't fall. And sometimes it makes it easier for a defense if he's the only guy you have to game plan for. He was effective. He was 9 of 17 from beyond the arc. He was perfect from the free throw line. And when he was on the court, the Rockets were plus 11. But for James Harden to play 46 minutes and put up 39 shots, they're going to run into a brick wall. They cannot beat the Warriors that way. Or any, well, they could beat some of the teams in the West playing that way. But it'll be the exact same thing as it was last year. And, incidentally, the Rockets were taking on the Grizzlies. And despite his 57 points and the 46 minutes, which included overtime, the Rockets lost. They do have the ability to share the wealth, to spread out the shots. And yes, a lot of it has to do with the defense and the matchups. He's not going to get that type of quantity or even quality when he's matched up with, say, a Paul George. If it happens to be a Paul George who's guarding him. If it happens to be a Klay Thompson who's guarding him. If it happens to be someone who can, in fact, take on that challenge and is a really good two-way player. But 39 shots? No. That's too much like it was to start the season, the first half of the season for the Rockets. But he did have 57 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds. Even more impressive to me was what the Philadelphia 76ers did against the Boston Celtics. Now, these teams meet 4 times a year. There's some talk that they could end up again in the playoffs. That would be interesting. Of course, they met last year in the second round. And the Sixers, you can tell, have really come together. Despite the moves they made, the trades they made, the way they tweaked their starting lineup, they look really good, especially with a healthy Joel Embiid.
Ben Simmons with the ball to the corner. Harris driving on Morris, throws it alley-oop, and Embiid catches it and puts it in. The Sixers with the lead, 109-108. Harris to Joel Embiid, and he guides it in off a soft catch in front of the rim. Butler with an outside right. Harris comes to screen, 10 to shoot. Jimmy Butler against Kyrie Irving. How good is this? Here's Butler on a drive into the lane, left hand layup, good. He went right by Kyrie. Irving's looking at Morris like, give me some help, man. It's Jimmy Butler. Ben Simmons with it, shot clock down to 9. Ben drives it into the lane, puts it up, and he banked it in, and a foul on Morris. Simmons going to the basket, and he scores it. It's the Sixers by 2, and Simmons with the free throw opportunity. Jimmy Butler with it, 10 seconds to go on the shot clock. 10 seconds now to go in the game. Jimmy with the dribble. Jimmy loses it. He almost fell out of bounds. He shoots it. It's good. He made it with under 5 seconds to go. Jimmy Butler has come up huge, and the crowd roars.
Jimmy Butler scores 15 of his 22 points in the fourth quarter, and some of the poses, oh gosh, some of the faces, some of the poses, it was so classic Jimmy Butler. He was in his element. But Joel Embiid, a star. 37 points, 22 rebounds, big block on Kyrie Irving in the final minute. Tom McGinnis with the calls on the Philadelphia 76ers radio network. I ask you, what would you rather have? A James Harden who takes 39 shots and scores 57 points, or an entire starting lineup that's in double figures? Joel Embiid is a game changer. We know this for sure. And the Sixers were really patient with him when he was injured, and they wanted him to be completely healthy before he came back. All that's really important. This team looks primed and ready for a run. Tobias Harris had 21. And so they beat the Celtics for the first time, but really the only time this season, regular season. But they have already clinched a playoff spot, and they've got that number 3 seed right now in the East. In case you're wondering, they are a full 3 games ahead of the Pacers, who are fading backward now. They've dropped 3 in a row. The Celtics are still in that 5 spot, so they had a chance to pick up some ground on the Pacers, but they lost. And so that race is still a tight one between the 4 and the 5. With now roughly 11 games to go, 10, 11 games to go is kind of where we are in the NBA regular season. There was a moment that certainly exudes the edge and the tension in this particular rivalry. You remember last year we got this series in the second round, and it wasn't, I don't want to say it was nearly a sweep, but it was a really effective performance by the Celtics. The Sixers, still with some growing up to do, obviously have added some pieces this year, but you could see the spice. You could see the animosity between the two teams and the two cities, the two franchises. It goes way back, which is great for basketball. Well, some of that, maybe we got a taste of that, depending on what happens in the postseason. But I say, give me a series full of a little bit of tension, a little bit of edge, although Marcus Smart needs to be smarter.
Ben Simmons near midcourt, and Embiid got knocked down by Smart, and Embiid wants a piece of him. The two of them are nose-to-nose in the middle of the lane. Embiid took a tough spill near the baseline, and Smart just kind of stood there and watched them fall.
Wow.
I didn't see what precipitated that.
Oh, well, that's on.
I mean, all
away.
It was just a steal at the other end, and now Marcus Smart's going to have to be led off the floor. Well, Embiid's going to be led in the other direction.
I'm not sure what happened there.
And now Smart taunting the crowd as he walks back to the bench.
We might be able to get a replay. Where was it?
Yeah, they are going to replay.
Well, John Wallach and Cedric Maxwell may not have seen it, but it was very clearly retaliation by Marcus Smart. So here's what happened. They were at the high post, about the right elbow. Smart's trying to fight around a screen, and as he does so, Embiid throws out the left elbow. So slams him with the elbow and then says something to him afterwards. And instead of letting it go, Smart then turns around and shoves him from behind, and he goes sprawling. And so typical of your fight with your siblings, or typical of a basketball or a football game, any type of a game where you're the second guy, it's always the second guy who gets caught. It's never the first act. It's always the second one that calls the attention of the refs. And so, yeah, Smart got ejected. And afterwards, Brad Stevens is saying how we need him out there. He's got to be smarter. Joel Embiid was not quite that diplomatic.
It was good to get this win. I mean, the first half went down about 15. And to see us fight through it and get back in the game was a great step into awards what we're trying to build here. Obviously, I was frustrated because it was a cheap shot. I didn't see it coming, caught me off guard. But I don't really want to talk about him, so I don't care.
The only reason he didn't see it coming is because he had his back turned. But he instigated by throwing the elbow. And if the refs had seen it, there could have very well been a foul called there. So he throws an elbow, he fires a parting shot, and then he turns around, and that's when Smart couldn't control his temper. It was maybe a little bit of that spice of life that we might get between these two franchises if they end up in the playoffs against one another. We'll see how the standings finally work themselves out over these last few weeks of the regular season. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. And then also on our Facebook page, is there a better 2 days in sports than what we've got staring at us? And who's your final four now that your brackets are done? Or maybe your brackets aren't done. I'm not judging. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Tees up at the corner three left side. No good. Martin the rebound. Martin zooming ahead right to left. Dropping it off Dort. He banks it home from the right side. Transition bucket. 56-40. Cheatham across the timeline. Pressed. Pass deflected by Pons. Dort saves it ahead to Lawrence. 2-on-1. Leave it for White. And he slams it down with both hands. Arizona State up 66-57. 1:49 to play. Dort lobs it ahead. Figueroa deflected it. Ball is loose. Trimble has it. Simon takes one more shot. A three-pointer at the buzzer. It rims out. And this game and the first four are over.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Remember the name Bobby Hurley? Of course you do. Well, if you're my age, you definitely do. Two-time champ, who was an incredible guard for Duke and coach Mike Krzyzewski. Well, now he is the coach of Arizona State, and he gets his first NCAA tournament win as a coach. That's kind of cool. Arizona State holding off St. John's, the Red Storm, with so many fouls and so many mistakes, just missed opportunities. They had plenty of chances to really push Arizona State to make this a tougher game, and the unforced errors, they're enough that made you want to bang your head against the wall. The final call there with Ted Emmerich on the Westwood One radio network. Now, there were a lot of turnovers for Hurley's squad as well. In fact, they had 21 miscues, but they did a better job of taking advantage when the Red Storm turned the ball over.
I really loved how we started the game and really took control of the game, and I thought our defense was very good. We mixed our defenses up some, and you know, our zone was pretty effective in the first half and played very well in the offensive end. I think 14 of 26 at halftime from the field, and so played really clean at that end of the floor, and it was nice to have that margin. And you know, in the second half, we, you know, in order to continue to play in this tournament, we understand that we, you know, we got to take care of the ball better.
It's kind of interesting to see him as a coach after and winning an NCAA tournament game after watching him all those years when he was at Duke. And he's gone through a lot in his life. But it's that Hurley family, at least when I was growing up, was synonymous with college basketball. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. You can catch every game, every shot, every second of March Madness Thursday through Sunday on CBS and the Turner Networks, with coverage beginning each day at noon Eastern, which means we are not even 10 hours away from the full schedule, the full slate tipping off. It's total mayhem. It's madness and it's mayhem and it's all consuming. And so when I ask you, are there better 2 days in sports, I mean consecutively. I don't mean better 2 days in sports on the calendar. I mean back to back, where you can really immerse yourself in a sport. And in some cases, you have people who take off and all they do is watch basketball for 2 days. So I've not done that in a really long time. When I was younger, I think in college, where there was a group of us that did that. But now it's fun to work. It's fun to watch these games and know that we'll have the drama to talk about on our show this time tomorrow. So I hope you're looking forward to it. If you've got big plans, what are they? Are you going to Vegas? I've got friends who do that every year and do nothing but sit in a huge room and watch basketball and gamble on the games. So if you've got big plans, let us know what you're doing. And I guess hiding in your cubicle and following games on your devices could also be big plans. Very covert. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. A lot of you sending me your final fours. I have, in fact, started the bracket process. Boom! I've got three to fill out, for heaven's sakes. And so that's what I'm doing. Maybe I'm just going to transfer. I'll do one bracket and just transfer it to the other bracket challenges. Because I don't know that I can go through this process more than once. And it seems like no matter if I change which upsets I pick, because I generally pick a bunch of upsets in the first couple rounds, I still end up with the same final four most of the time. And so I'm doing the bracket. If you want to join us and you haven't yet, you can on Twitter or Facebook. You've got the link. Actually, Chris is going to repost it on Facebook so we can get it back in our newsfeed. That'd be good for the next few hours. And straight ahead, even as we're thinking about basketball, we've got basketball on the brain. We're actually going to have a guest from Tokyo, as in live guest from Tokyo, which is really cool. If you were with us on Wednesday morning, you know that we were building up to Major League Baseball opening day. It's already happened. You know that, right? It's already happened. And this is now becoming the opening series. And so at 5:30 a.m. Eastern time Wednesday, 2:30 a.m. Pacific time, Ichiro got introduced in the Tokyo Dome, where he is an icon and a legend, and he actually played several innings before he was pulled from the game. It was kind of funny. I was watching that, that moment when he was pulled. The fans didn't know what was happening. So he trots in from right field, and is all his teammates give him a hug and congratulate him. And it took a while for the fans to figure out what was happening before they started clapping and cheering for Ichiro. Anyway, the Mariners are 1-0. They beat the A's 9-7, and they've got another game coming up in mere hours, 3 hours from now. So opening day's already happened. I hope you didn't miss it. But if you did, we've got you covered. We're heading to Tokyo next. The significance of the Mike Trout contract. And according to a former president of a Major League Baseball franchise, who's next? Or will there be a next? Is there anyone in Major League Baseball that is worth what Mike Trout just received from the Angels? And the extension, the new money, is 10 years, $360 million. Also, Mike Trout releases a statement with the Angels, so we'll get into that as well. But you can find us on Twitter and Facebook. We're talking college hoops. We want to know your final four. And we're trying to make the hours go faster before the bulk of the tournament tips off. Love it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Here's the 0-1. Coming to Santana, fires, deals, fastball, swung on, hit to right field and deep. It's a slicing drive. Giddy up, gone! Grand slam, Domingo Santana!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Mariners Radio Network. Did you know the baseball season is already underway? It was Dave Sims with the call. Inside the Tokyo Dome, not only was it the first game, but it's the first series that's going on. 2:30 Seattle and Oakland time, so about 3 hours from now. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. David Sampson is in Tokyo and gets to appreciate this opening series live and in person and in color. And he's a former president of the Marlins. And David, I just need to know, because you're for people who don't know, your avatar on Twitter is actually a picture with Ichiro, which is amazing. What was it like when he got introduced and when he was out there in the field and had a couple at bats?
So I'm lucky enough to have been in some great moments in the sports world, from a World Series, to an All-Star game, to a first game at a ballpark. And this felt different to me because it felt like an appreciation of an entire country was all flowing toward one man as a thank you for what he did and the memories he made for them. And you got that feeling. I know it sounds poetic, and it, it really felt that way. People were very respectful. They were cheering, but they weren't going crazy. They weren't acting as though it was some rock star. He, they acted with respect, like this, the way this culture is in Japan. And it just, it, it felt very different, very special.
How much does he mean to that country, though? How much does he mean after all the success he's had in Major League Baseball?
You know, he was. They did a vote to see which emperor or which figure from history in Japanese history should go on the currency, and Ichiro finished, you know, in the top five.
Oh my gosh.
As a living man to go on the currency.
Wow!
So you're talking about someone who makes the Beatles look like, you know, Howard Stern. So this is a totally different level of fame. This is different than Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Tom Brady. This is a different thing. And I've been out with Ichiro in Japan and in Tokyo in years past. And it is it can be lonely for him, but he also recognizes that people view him and genuflect toward him in a way that, that is just it's hard to get used to, actually.
Do you think he'll go back to Japan when he's done playing, like to live, or do you think he'll stay in the United States?
I think he'll do what he does now. I think he'll spend some time in Seattle. He'll spend some time in Miami. He'll spend some time in Japan as well. It's who he is. I think what he'll always do is throw a baseball around and hit in the batting cage. That's something about Ichiro. He never took a day off, literally 364 days a year. So I guess he took one day off. He'd be throwing and hitting every single day, even during the All-Star break. So he, it's just who he is. He is a baseball player. He's going to, I think he leaves the field one day horizontally in 50 years.
I've always wondered this. How much English does he know, David?
He speaks English about as well as you and I do. He is very funny that way. He speaks Spanish, English, Japanese.
Wow.
But he, when he wants to express himself in a very detailed way, he'll speak to me in Japanese with through a translator.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, like when we text with each other, it's in English, quite obviously, because I don't text Japanese. But this is a learned man. You know, here in the States, where people who are bilingual are less common. But around the world, being bilingual is much more common.
Right.
And so he does. Now, I get why he has interpreters with him at all times, because he wants to, in Japanese, you need to say the right thing, the right way, at the right time, in the most respectful way. And that's why he always wanted to have someone with him to make sure that he's doing that the way he wants to do it.
David Sampson's a former president of the Miami Marlins, now with CBS Sports HQ, is a baseball analyst and is joining us from Tokyo, which is amazing. First time we've ever had a guest from Tokyo. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. In your opinion, as someone who's worked in a front office, how much credibility do these overseas series have for Major League Baseball?
Credibility isn't the word I'd use, Amy. I think that it's important for all the leagues to financially to make sure that they have a presence in everywhere internationally. And let's face it, that's what this is. This is MLB working with the Players Association to increase revenue, to increase exposure, to get more kids playing baseball around the world so there can be more players play Major League Baseball. Tonight is the debut of Kokichi playing in Seattle as a pitcher, the first Japanese player to make his Major League debut in Japan as part of a Major League Baseball team. And it's just helpful with TV contracts. The Japanese MLB deal is very lucrative in terms of people walking around Tokyo wearing Major League Baseball uniforms, and they're wearing Ichiro uniforms all over. I saw as many Marlin uniforms in the crowd yesterday as I did at Marlins game. So there were a lot of Marlins uniforms, a lot of Mariners uniforms. The one I didn't see, there was no one wearing an Ichiro Yankee uniform. I thought that was interesting.
So you think it's worth it then?
Oh, you have to do it.
Okay.
It's critical. It is absolutely critical. And here in Japan, Major League Baseball is a very, very big deal. The downside is that you want people to be aware in the United States that opening day was really yesterday. You know, 5:30 a.m.
Right.
Season started Eastern time, 2:30 a.m. Pacific time. And again, there's game two today, then there's a few days off, and then another big opening day for most teams on March 28th. So baseball's here, it's exciting, but the story of these two games is definitely Ichiro.
So how do the players then like it, the opportunity? And I don't mean Ichiro, I mean the others who have to travel all the way across the world and then go back and play more spring training games before they would break camp again. How do they like the opportunity?
So I had a chance to speak to a bunch of them at a party we were at the night before. I can't remember how many days ago. I can't remember what day it is right now. But let's just pretend it was 48 hours ago.
Okay.
And they had the same, everyone unanimously had the same two reactions. And in this order, one, this is incredibly cool. Two, I'm incredibly tired.
Oh, yeah.
Those were the two reactions, and I think that doing it this time of year is easier. You know, you got the Yankees and Red Sox going to London, and for those of us who have been lucky enough to travel to Europe, there's some definite jet lag when you go to Europe and when you get back, and there's some days off worked into the schedule. But listen, you're tired for a couple of days, so you know you have to curtail your going out late. And there's a lot of players right now, like I've been doing as well, staring at the ceiling at very strange hours.
Yeah, no, it's tough. I remember when I came back from Africa, it took me a full week plus to acclimate to the time change and the jet lag and all that jazz. So it's not easy. It's smart of baseball to make sure they have a few days, some time before they start their next series in the United States. David Sampson with us from Tokyo. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, we've been waiting to ask you your reaction to the extension that the Angels gave Mike Trout, the $360 million extra, which of course now brings his total over the next 12 years to $426.5 million.
So it's great, right? So you're calling it, is it 360 over 10? Is it 430 over 12? People are, you know, everyone's calling it what they want. Let's just say it's around $36 million a year,
yep.
And he signed till he's 39 years old. The question is, will this juice be worth the squeeze? Will it feel this good, and for how long? Because right now, Artie Moreno, the owner of the Angels, said to himself, and this is exactly how it went, he said, well, we're not going to lose him. He is going to be an Angel forever. I want him to be in the Hall of Fame as an Angel. We are not going to be, I'm not going to be the owner who was there when Mike Trout left as a free agent to go play in Philadelphia or anywhere else. So he went up to Mike Trout, likely in the clubhouse one day and during spring training, and said, here's my question. How much is it going to take and how many years so you don't say no? That's it. Like, that's the question. So it wasn't a very long negotiation. Trout gave the number. Moreno said yes, and Trout signed it. And Trout now is saying, I never would have left. Artie Moreno is saying, I never would have let him leave. And it's always easier to say that, like we did with Stanton, after the fact.
Right.
Before the fact, the owner's nervous, and the player is excited. Do I test free agency? How much will I beat Bryce Harper by? Do I want to uproot myself, my family, go east? You know, what's my goal here? Because is my goal to win championships, to experience a different organization, or to just make sure I get the most guaranteed money of anyone in history and hold that title for as long as possible? And I think that Mike Trout did the smart thing for him. And the Angels, you have to wait to see, because they've not been successful as a franchise with Mike Trout.
Right.
And now he represents even more of their payroll. And so what they're betting on is that the combination of Trout and Ohtani, once Pujols is off the payroll in another, 3 years, that Trout and Ohtani together will form the nucleus to try to finally win a playoff series.
I have to tell you that I laughed. I laughed out loud because the absurdity that Bryce Harper and Scott Boras waited 4 months and they dug in their heels and they had to have the 13 years and they had to have the $330 million. And then 19 days later, Trout's number blows it out of the water.
You know, I know you could be trolling me and getting me to say something, and I'm just going to say it. It makes me so happy, right? Because it's so ridiculous to have held the offseason hostage the way it did, to make Bryce Harper the story all offseason the way he was. And when we should have been focusing on getting to baseball, getting to spring training, I had to do more interviews before spring training about Bryce Harper than about the fact that right pitchers and catchers were reporting. And it couldn't have happened to a better guy. I'm so happy for Trout. And now everyone's writing about Betts, right? Will Mookie Betts now beat Mike Trout? And there's a lesson for Scott Boras in this. There's a lesson for all of us. Everybody is always in his or her place temporarily.
That's
true. It's important to act accordingly.
That is true. But just out of curiosity, and then I'll let you go because I know you got a lot to do, but the Mookie Betts question intrigues me because if you ask general managers, you ask coaches, whoever, they will point to Mike Trout as the best player in Major League Baseball. But does that even matter when it comes to these kind of contracts?
You know, it is amazing what happens. So right now, Mike Trout is the best in every way, in every measurement. You have analytics people agreeing with scouts, old-time scouts who actually use their eyes and their brains. And they all agree that Mike Trout, if I'm going to start a team, I want to start it with him. What they also agree, though, is that having one player alone does not win you anything. You have to have a team. The reason the Red Sox won a ring last year, Mookie Betts was an MVP, had an unbelievable year, but he was surrounded by guys, both pitching and defensively and offensively, who were outstanding. Just in every facet of the game from 1 to 25 in terms of players, player 1 to player 25. What I want to watch this year is the Red Sox. I want to watch the three Bs in the outfield. I want to see if J.D. Martinez can back up his year with another good year. Can Chris Sale, is he okay? Is his shoulder okay? Is he healthy? Is he going to be throwing 88, 89 as a pitcher right now? What will the bullpen be like without Kimbrel? All of these things matter. And if Betts repeats his season, the Red Sox repeat as champions, and everything goes perfectly, then I think the conversation changes and Mookie Betts becomes the best player in baseball because doing it twice is harder in baseball than any other sport.
For sure. David Sampson, one of my favorite guests, whether in Tokyo, whether United States, although generally we have you in our final hour early in the morning in Florida. But you can find him on Twitter at David P. Sampson with CBS Sports HQ, but also the former president of the Miami Marlins. It's so good to have you. Enjoy the game tonight. Tonight, today,
thank you so much.
This morning.
For the week I'm back from Tokyo, I can join you every hour of the overnight show.
Yes, you'll be awake and listening, no doubt.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.